Appreciate the manner in which we've engaged in our worship, both this morning as well as this afternoon. And to Mark and to Randy both, appreciate the time put into arranging our song service and the manner in which those songs have been led. The well-worded prayers that we've had today, the good comments at the table this morning, appreciate that so very much. It's always good to go away and to visit other congregations and to be encouraged by them, but every time we do, we're always reminded of how good things are here at Knollwood, and it's always good to get back and to be with you so that we can worship God together with you. Said this morning that I want us to talk about gambling this afternoon and take a look at what the Bible has to say about this subject. It is something that we need to talk about from time to time, not because I'm aware of any present problem with this within the congregation here, but it is a prominent part of our culture today. It is something that has recently made the news and the Supreme Court striking down a law that was passed by the Constitution banning sports betting. That has been removed, and now, as expected, a number of states are quickly adding that to their state legislatures, passing laws allowing sports betting in different states. If you travel across the United States, you find that there are casinos in many different locations. Riverboat gambling in Oklahoma, there's a lot of tribal land there, and every tribe has their own casino. Out in Washington State, when we were there a couple of months ago, I was surprised to see there were a lot of tribal casinos there. And that's just one area where you've got gambling. You've got the lottery. In just about every state, you've got we have a Triple Crown winner as of yesterday in horse racing. There's a lot of betting that goes on there. I remember when we lived in the Louisville area, we visited Churchill Downs, went and not on a race day, but went and looked at it. But a major part of that tour going through there was a display that showed you how to bet on the horses. They wanted you to be involved in that and encourage that, teaching you how to do that. Here's the thing, we can find gambling in different forms and different ways in just about every place that we look in our culture today. It can be having to wait behind someone in line at the convenience store while they plan their financial future, picking the numbers. It can be an office pool that's going around during college football season. Even churches have different forms of gambling as fundraisers for themselves or their different activities. With the popularity and the ease with which one can partake in this activity, we need to consider what the Bible has to say about it. First, let's define gambling. Let's make sure we understand what we're talking about and what it is that the Bible teaches against. A gamble is not simply taking a chance or a risk. There's nothing sinful in and of itself of taking a chance or taking a risk. Gambling is when we place a wager or a bet on the outcome of such an event. One definition of gambling is that gambling is the betting or staking of something of value with a consciousness of risk and hope of gain on the outcome of a game, a contest, or an uncertain event. So we're talking about the wager. We're not talking about watching a horse race, watching a football game, playing a game of cards. We're talking about placing a wager with the hope that we win what other people are losing. That is what is condemned in the Scripture. The word gambling doesn't appear in the Bible. But we need to understand that just because something isn't specifically mentioned in the Bible and there's a specific prohibition against that, doesn't mean that it's not in violation of principles found in the Bible. And that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at a number of principles that are violated by the practice of gambling, and that tells us that as God's people, it is something that we are to stay away from. Let's consider first the principle behind gambling and how gambling violates some of these principles set forth in the Bible. Number one, gambling violates the authorized means of gaining wealth. The Bible has told us that there are some ways in which we can gain wealth, and there are some legitimate or sinful ways in which we can gain or obtain wealth. For one thing, the Bible tells us that we can work. And it is legitimate, it is authorized for us to have an income. That is, to get an exchange on our time. We give our time to a company, we go and punch the time clock, and we are paid in exchange for that time. And that is a scriptural principle. There's nothing wrong with that. Jesus taught in Luke chapter 10 and at verse 7, the laborer is worthy of his wages. And in fact, the Holy Spirit thought so much of that that it's quoted by Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 5, that a laborer is worthy of his hire or worthy of his wages. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul says, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good." You need income. You need to be able to provide for yourself. Don't steal any longer. That's not authorized. That is sinful. But instead, work, labor with your hands. That is authorized. That is something that God would commend. And so we are to work. If a man will not work, neither shall he eat. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. So this is one way that we can gain wealth or an income. Secondly, is through commerce or the exchange of goods. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus likens the kingdom of God to a treasure that a man found in a field. He went and sold everything that he had so that he could buy that field, and when he did so, he had the rightful claim to that treasure that was found there. He exchanged goods for that land, and he profited from that exchange. In Acts chapter 4, verses 34 through 37, we read that those Christians who were possessors of lands sold that land and brought the proceeds and gave it to the apostles, laid it at the feet of the apostles. In James chapter 4 and at verse 13, James chapter 4 and verse 13, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit." So this is a legitimate way, authorized, scriptural way for us to make money, is to buy something and then turn around and sell it for a profit. If you've ever sold a house for a profit, that's legitimate. That's scriptural. You've had a yard sale or garage sale, taken some of your goods and exchanged them for money. You can do that with your time. You can do that with your goods. Either way, the scriptures allow for that. Also, we can receive money as a gift. If someone gives us money as a gift, the scriptures allow that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28 said that he who steals, let him steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. The Magi who came to visit the infant Lord in Matthew chapter 2 and at verse 11 brought gifts and gave gifts, the frankincense and myrrh and gold. These were valuable items that were given to the young family. And they were no doubt used by them as they went to Egypt and stayed hidden from King Herod in his wrath. But we can receive gifts. Acts chapter 20 and at verse 35 quotes the words of the Lord, "Is more blessed to give than to receive." So receiving money as a gift is scriptural. And receiving an inheritance. The law of Moses talks about inheritance, and it gives laws regarding it in Numbers chapter 27 and Deuteronomy chapter 21. Luke chapter 15 gives us the parable of three lost things, the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son. Remember that prodigal son went to his father and said, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." What was he saying? He's saying, "I want my inheritance now." Now, there wasn't anything sinful with him receiving an inheritance. The problem is that he wished his father was dead now, and he demanded it now. There is where the problem lied. But obviously, there's nothing wrong, nothing sinful about receiving an inheritance. So, the Bible tells us there are different ways, legitimate, scriptural ways for us to obtain our income, our financial substance. By the way, as a side, if there are legitimate ways, there are illegitimate ways, there are sinful ways. This is true of the individual, and although this sermon isn't considering it, we realize it's also true of the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, God has authorized the way that the church is to collect its funds or to be supported financially, and that's through free will offerings made by the members every Lord's Day. Not to engage in business, not to have carnivals or fairs or raffle tickets or whatever it may be. So there's illegitimate ways for churches to raise their funds as well. But that's a side point, another sermon for us to pursue at another day. God has authorized the way we gain our wealth. He has not authorized man to gain wealth by wagering on events or investing in get-rich-quick schemes. Another principle gambling violates is the principle of stewardship. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4, and at verse 10, that we are stewards of the manifold blessings of God. Steward is not a word that we use very often in our society today, but the idea behind stewardship or a steward is that a steward is a manager who is overseeing the property of another. And more than that, not just overseeing, managing the property of another, but has to give an account for how he has done so. As stewards of the manifold mercies and grace of God, as Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and at verse 10, everything that we have is God's. Do you understand that as a Christian? That every physical thing that you have is not yours. It belongs to God. It has simply been put into your care and into your use. Now, God is concerned and has a right to be concerned with the way you and I use our money. And when we take it and we wager it in hopes that we can win something that belongs to somebody else, that's not the way the owner wants his money to be used. So as stewards, we realize that we have to handle our money the way that God tells us to handle our money. The earth is the Lord's. Psalm 24, verse 1. If you don't think the things that you have really belong to God, the Scriptures teach that everything belongs to God. Some has been placed in our hand for a little while. And yes, there is a sense in which the things that we do have do belong to us. In Acts chapter 5 and at verse 4, when Ananias and Sapphira are caught in their lie, and they were keeping back a portion of the money that was gained from the sale of their property, Peter says, "While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control?" So yes, in a sense, it does belong to us. It is in our control. But at the same time, we're held accountable for how we use it and how we spend it. And to take it and to invest it in a situation in which the house wins, that money is being thrown away. And we're going to have to answer for that one day. And gambling violates the principle of brotherly love. The only way to win at gambling is when someone else loses. We can't all win. Someone has to lose in order for me to win. And that violates the principle of love. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's the second greatest command. The royal law, or the golden rule, in Matthew chapter 7 and at verse 12, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." I don't want you taking my money. And if I don't want someone else taking my money, then I shouldn't be taking their money. But that's what gambling is. It is a mutual, I'll rob from you, you rob from me society. This week I'm the winner, next week you are the winner. It is really stealing. It is theft. Regardless of whether or not they're willing participants, regardless of whether or not it's legal, it is theft. And it violates the principle of love. Romans chapter 13 and verse 10 says that love does no harm to one's fellow man. Theft does. Gambling does. And so we are not to participate as Christians. We're not to participate in gambling, not because we can find the book, chapter, verse that says thou shalt not gamble, but because it violates the principle of how God would have us to earn our money, the principle of stewardship, how God would have us to use our money, And it violates the principle of love, how God would have us to treat our fellow man. Another problem with gambling is the motivation behind it. Why do people gamble? Well, there's different reasons that are given. Why do people go to casinos? Why do people go to the races? Why do people buy the lottery tickets? Different people do it for different reasons. Some enjoy the competition. Some say that it's entertainment. That's my entertainment budget. And if I go with $1,000 to the casino and I lose every penny, that's okay because that's money I've set aside for entertainment. Some do it when they can engage in charitable gambling. That is a gambling tournament that the proceeds are going to go to a charity. And so they justify it from that standpoint. But really, what motivates gambling? What is the big draw? Well, one is greed. To take a handful of money, to take a small amount of money, and wager it on the hopes of it increasing. Wanting more. For many people, the appeal of gambling is to hit it big and to become rich. Why do you think these casinos advertise their big winners on the billboards and on television? Here's so-and-so, and they won $10,000 on the slot machines. They're not going to show the picture of the person that blew $1,000 at the casino last week. That's not going to draw someone in. It's the person that won. We've got the loosest slots in town. We've got the best tables in town. We've got the best payouts in town, drawing people in to the money, to become rich. The Bible warns against the desire to be rich. In the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, from which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The Bible warns against this, warns against the desire to be rich, the love of money. This can entice Christians to be involved in sin. It can entice many people to be involved in and carried away in the sin of gambling. One of the problems with greed is that greed is a monster that is never satisfied. Greed is a desire, a lust, that is never filled. In Ecclesiastes 5, verses 10 through 12, Solomon observed and warned, "He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. So what profit have the owners except to see them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep." Greed, having to have the love of money, is what drives gambling. And the Bible says that it leads to vanity. It leads to emptiness. It leads to sin. Something else that motivates gambling is covetousness. Not just to have, but to have more and to have it all. That's the idea behind covetousness. The Greek word that is translated covetousness is must have more. It's the literal meaning of it. Must have more is never satisfied. Especially those things that belong to someone else. Remember what gambling is. I win what somebody else has lost. Covetousness. Jesus taught that man was to beware of covetousness. One time Jesus was talking, teaching publicly, and he was interrupted. Luke chapter 12 and at verse 13, then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Jesus warned against covetousness. The Bible warns against this sin. The Apostle Paul wrote about it numerous times. One was in our Bible reading a few moments ago from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 7. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Colossians 3, verses 5 and 6. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Isn't that interesting? Of all the sins that are mentioned there, which one does the Holy Spirit liken to idolatry? And by the way, this similarity, this comparison is also made in the Ephesians account, that covetousness is idolatry. Idolatry is worshiping something as God. And those who are addicted to gambling, those who are driven by covetousness and by greed, money is their God. Money is what they worship. We mentioned that casinos litter the landscape across this country. In the town where my parents now live, in Siloam Springs, Arkansas, it's right on the border between Arkansas and Oklahoma. And right there at the state line, I mean within spitting distance of the state line, is the Cherokee Casino, found right there, that belongs to the Cherokee tribe. And they put it as close to Arkansas, literally, as they could get it. And one day when we were driving by there and the kids were a little bit younger, an observation was made from the back seat. Wow, look at that church. And we had to explain, well, that's not a church, that's a casino. But no, that is a church for those who are covetous. That is a church. That is where they go to worship. A number of years ago, living here, we drove down to Hamilton on Easter Sunday after services. And you know there at exit 22, I think it is, at Monroe, you've got the flea markets and you've got the $5 foot-long Jesus Church that's right there. Then kind of back off in that direction is the Miami Valley Gaming Casino that's back there. Easter Sunday, we were driving down through there in the church. That parking lot was pretty full. But it didn't compare to the number of cars you saw at the casino on Easter Sunday morning. They had gone to church. They had gone to worship their God. So covetousness is idolatry. And these casinos are the churches of those who are worshiping money. Some people may gamble because they like the competition or they see it as a form of entertainment. But I can't help but wonder that if you took the jackpot away, how many people would go there? How many people would be involved in that? No, what drives it is the greed, is the promise that you could win an enormous amount of money. Another problem with gambling that makes it wrong, that makes it sinful, that we need to understand, the reason that Christians shouldn't be involved in any form of it, is that the fruits of gambling are sinful. What do you mean by fruits? I mean by the result, what gambling produces. We see the people who win the jackpots. We see the flash. We see what those who are in favor of the gambling want us to see. But what are the real, true fruits of gambling? How about the fact that gambling is addictive? You don't think so? They have Gambling Anonymous. They've got hotlines that you can call. As a matter of fact, you watch some of these lottery commercials. What's the message right there at the very end? Problem gambling? Call 800, whatever it is. And just like you have casinos across the land, you've got billboards like this across the land, advertising that there's help for those who are addicted to gambling. Gambling is addictive. It does have that rush. It does have that excitement. It does appeal to greed and covetousness. And as such, it has a grip on people, much like drugs and alcohol and pornography does. Those who are involved with such, those support groups like Gamblers Anonymous, claim that there are 15 million people who display signs of gambling addiction. The Christian is not to allow anything to have control over them. Not alcohol, not drugs, and not gambling. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And that's what addiction is, to be brought under the power of something else, whether it be dependency on alcohol or drugs, whether it be the fascination with pornography or fornication, or whether it be the rush that comes from gambling. Gambling is addictive, and for that reason, we need to stay away from it. We don't need to be involved in it. We don't need to support that industry in any way. Secondly, gambling destroys lives. Problem gamblers lose more than their wager. The average debt incurred by a male pathological gambler in the United States is between $55,000 to $95,000 a year. Could you imagine that much money being gone? But the gambler who is addicted loses that. Female gamblers, the women who are addicted to gambling, lose on average $15,000 a year. 65% of problem gamblers commit crimes to support their gambling addiction. The average divorce rate for problem gamblers is nearly double that of non-gamblers, and the suicide rate for problem gamblers is 20 times higher than for non-gamblers. Among those who are addicted to gambling or have a problem with gambling addiction, 1 in 5 attempt suicide at some time as they're struggling with this problem. So gambling, that's the fruit of gambling. It destroys lives. How about the evil companions? Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals. Instead of surrounding ourselves with godly people who are striving to go to heaven, the gambler associates with and is influenced by those who are motivated by greed and covetousness and are actually looking to take their money from them. And that's who they are spending time with, those who will exploit them given the chance. Gambling contributes to crime and to other sins. I believe a lot of us are familiar with the slogan from Sin City: what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What is it that's happening in Vegas that needs to stay there, that you don't want to bring back home and let people back home know that you've been doing, that you don't want on social media? Is it that you've gone and placed a wager on cards or throwing the dice? No. It's everything else that is associated with it. The crime and the sin. Which came to Las Vegas first? The crime, the drugs, the prostitution, or the casinos? Which came first? The casinos came first. The gambling came first, and everything else followed. And now it's known of as Sin City. In Atlantic City on the eastern coast, when casinos were first introduced in Atlantic City, the total number of crimes that occurred within a 30-mile radius of the casinos increased 100% in the first year. Look at what's associated with gambling. Well, we're going to have a lottery because it's going to pay for our schools. Whose taxes have gone down because the lottery is now being played? That was a lie. You know what the lottery is? The lottery is a stupid tax. The stupider you are, the more you're going to pay. That's what the lottery is. That's what gambling is. Those who think that they can get rich. It's rigged. The house is going to win. You know that going in. And yet to approach it as a way of getting more, of winning, it is dumb. It is foolish. It is stupid. But not only that, but there's the crime that is associated with it. All of the evil that is associated with it. The drinks flow while you're in the casinos. As long as you're gambling, as long as you're giving them their money, they'll give you the trinkets. But they're going to get what really matters. And you're going to walk out with nothing. And because of all this, the person who associates himself with gambling and is known to do that, gambling will destroy a person's influence. And I know the people that I'm talking to this afternoon, you and I both know how important our influence is. and that our influence must be maintained if it's going to be used for good. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We're not letting our light shine. We're not letting the distinctiveness of our character be felt by those around about us when we're picking the winning numbers in line at the Speedway. Or when we're seen gambling, or we're seen entering or leaving the casino. I've not bought the first lottery ticket. And I refuse to do so on the grounds of all the principles that we've talked about so far. But let me give you another reason. I know good and well that if I was to play the lottery one time, I would win, and my picture would be on the front of all the papers. Church of Christ preacher wins lotto. Oh, wouldn't that help the cause of Christ? Knowing my luck, that'd be what would happen. And that would be a terrible thing. A terrible thing for the cause of Christ. A terrible thing for this congregation to have to deal with and to dig out from underneath. No, it ruins our influence. And so we need to be careful of that. Why don't we gamble? Why shouldn't we be involved in gambling? Because the fruits of gambling are sinful, and we shouldn't have anything to do with supporting these industries or these associations that ruin people's lives. Shouldn't support it in any way. Some have tried to justify their involvement in gambling by making different arguments. The ends justifies the means. I mean, it is a wager. We're buying a ticket, a raffle ticket, and it's to help the school or it's to help some other organization. Here's the thing. If you want to help the school or organization, donate your money. You don't have to participate in the gamble. Donate the money. You can do that without sinning, violating your conscience, and hurting your influence. Some say, well, you know, to be involved in gambling, We take a chance in many different areas of our lives. We take a chance when we get out on the road and we drive a car, when we cross a street. The farmer's taking a chance. The man who's investing takes a chance. I've got to tell you, I take a chance every time I order food through a drive-thru window. We're taking chances, and I've already asked John and David if that's okay, and they gave me they're okay. We take chances all the time. Remember, gambling is not taking a risk. Gambling is when we wager on that. We bet money on that. Nothing wrong with taking a risk. But taking the money that God has given us and wagering it on that, that's where the line is crossed. That's where it becomes sin. The farmer is not gambling when he plants his crops, because the farmer is not profiting at somebody else's misfortune. If his crop comes through, everyone's a winner. No one's a loser. The person that invests, he only gets a return on that investment if the company has done good. Again, there are winners. There are no losers, unless you want to look at a very broad spectrum of how one company may be hurting another. Investing, planting, crossing the street, that's not gambling. Taking your money and wagering it, rather at a casino, at a convenience store, two friends just betting on who's going to win the Stanley Cup. All of that violates these principles that we've been studying. We need to flee sins like greed and covetousness. We need to work honest living to provide for ourselves and for others. And we need to remember that each and every one of us is going to have to give an account for the way we have used the money God has given us and the way we have treated our fellow man. And gambling doesn't put us in a good position regarding both of those matters. As Christians, let's stay away
from this sin. If you're here and you're not yet a Christian, not yet a child of God, then let's combine this morning's sermon with tonight. Are you going to gamble on whether or not hell is real? Now that's a gamble, isn't it? We talked this morning about hell and how that fire is real and it burns forever. Are you going to gamble on whether or not God's serious about that? That's not a bet any of us should make. No, let's secure our soul's salvation. Let's turn away from sin of every kind, including gambling, and let's give our life in faithful service to the Lord. And let's start by obeying the gospel. If you're here and you're not yet a Christian, you need to become one now. Quit gambling on God's patience and God's indifference. And you need to identify yourself as a child of God tonight. Repent of your sins, confess your faith, and let's baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins. If you become unfaithful, get right with the Lord. If we can help you with that, let us know by coming forward as we stand and sing this song.